More than 70 companies are waiting for certification under the Cloud Cybersecurity Program, FedRAMP. They may be lining up, but agencies are not ready to jump on board. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us now with more. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Jason, why are agencies still wary about FedRAMP?
I think there's two big reasons why FedRAMP is not quite the in thing yet. One is culture. The other one is related, but its own separate issue, and I think is trust. Both chief information officers and chief information security officers need to know that their data, their applications will be secure. And really what's happening is that there's not quite enough history yet for them to be totally secure. Mark Ryland is the chief solutions architect for Amazon Web Services worldwide public team.
Despite FedRAMP, we still get a lot of agencies that look like they want to do the whole thing all over again. And that's going to be the problem now, is if we cannot have 25 or 30 agencies go through what we're doing right now with our 3PAO. They're in Seattle. We're right now in the middle of an audit. You know, this is interesting timing. Intense process. We love it. We hate it. We love it. And in the end, we're all going to benefit from it. It's tough. It's good. It's going to make the documentation better, the system more secure. But we can't do that 25 times in a year. We just can't do that. So we got to get people to utilize those decisions that are made by this the FedRAMP.
So Ryland and others spoke recently during a Homeland Security and Defense Business Council event on cloud computing. Ryland says Amazon went through a pre-FedRAMP process when it won a spot on the blanket purchase agreement for infrastructure as a service that GSA issued a few years ago. He said Amazon understands the complexities and rigorous standards that are required, as do many, many companies. For instance, he says Amazon had to add what they call two-factor authentication to its routers, you know, the box that sits kind of behind your computer and your infrastructure that you get the internet through. The internet basically has, that's their rear gateway in many ways. He goes, before that, we've never had to do that before, but because FedRAMP required it, they raised that level of expectations and security standards. But even when Amazon or other agents or other vendors go through a third-party certification and that says they adhere to the FedRAMP standards, that just may not be enough. Richard Spires is the Homeland Security Department's Chief Information Officer. DHS is one of three Joint Authorization Board, or JAB, members, along with GSA and the Defense Department, to approve FedRAMP vendors. He says agencies just need to come to terms with FedRAMP.
I understand there may be some things around the edges they want to tweak, and maybe that's fair. But for the most part, they got to accept for the FISMA low and FISMA moderate what has been done by the cloud services provider to meet that mark, and then move on, right? And if they do that, I think we're going to have a very successful model. I think that will happen, but it is a, just like we were talking about earlier, it's a very big change management process for that whole CISO and ISO community, right, to go through.
Okay, Jason, so how else is the CIO Council and others helping to further the confidence in cloud security approaches?
Well, I think the first thing that the Council did, and then, you know, OMB did leading this effort, was put GSA and DOD and DHS in charge of the Joint Authorization Board. That really is going to, what they do is they give the cloud providers the initial authority to operate under FedRAMP. And I think that's key to getting agencies to buy into FedRAMP right off the bat. But Spire says beyond the work directly with FedRAMP, at DHS, and more specifically, the National Protections and Programs Directorate, or MPPD, is figuring out how the cloud fits in with other security initiatives.
You know, there's a mechanism here at work that is maturing. You know, that is, I would say, still got a ways to go, particularly as we move into a continuous monitoring world. You may know that under the Federal CIO Council, there's a continuous monitoring working group that is partnering and working hard right now with NPPD, CS&C in particular, regarding continuous monitoring and the ConOps and how that's going to, you know, really work and mature. Because we're still at the early stages of true continuous monitoring, but I think many of us certainly feel and certainly feel that that's where we need to go.
Now, Spire says he feels good about this interagency effort so far, specifically about bringing continuous monitoring and cloud computing closer together. And in fact, the White House recently updated its cross-agency cyber goals and added cloud to the mix, specifically around the trusted internet connections effort. This is yet another step to kind of get that acceptance, that comfortability with cloud security and within the government.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. And Jason, it sounds like security is not actually the biggest barrier to cloud computing as you might expect.
I mean, I think that security has been the biggest barrier, but I think what's starting to kind of burble up above it is the idea of culture is becoming the biggest barrier. And it's not just the culture of cloud computing or the security issues associated with cloud, but it's every part of cloud, how agencies buy services by the hour, by the day, by the minute. There is the security piece. It's how they manage the cloud providers. There's all these issues, and many of them are major changes to the way agencies actually deal with providers and buy and manage technology. Kevin Dealey is the deputy CIO at the Justice Department. He describes what his agency is going through as they move to the cloud.
Department of Justice has 40-plus components, all with their own IT shops, all managing their IT systems. We do have shared services in areas. But bringing them along and moving to more commodity-based services, gaining those efficiencies, it'd be helpful if cloud providers looked at different ways of pricing and challenges associated with, you know, buy the drink eventually, you know, and getting the economy of scales across the agency. You know, today, to work through those policy issues, those cultural boundaries, those security challenges that we all suffer from, moving through that has to be a learning curve on both sides.
Spire says one way to shorten that learning curve or to get the culture change to better take hold is to show successes even on a small scale. He says agencies are making some progress in changing culture, but it may not be at a quick enough pace.
But my big concern, and I don't have a good answer for this one, my big challenge, or one of my biggest, is how do we race, even with that change management mechanism I just mentioned, how do we do it fast enough so that we don't get in this position where we're actually having to lower our service quality because our budget is declining faster than we can keep up with that? And that to me is my biggest challenge, I would say, right now today, is racing to try to make these changes, bring people along, but make these changes as we look at these budgets that continue to decline.
Now, at the same time, Spires and Dealey also point to the cost savings and efficiency possibilities of the cloud, and that could help actually with the culture change and make it easier, make it happen more quickly. DHS stood up 11 different cloud-based services, for instance, and Spire says the cost of an email box per user is half of what it used to be. DHS now is able to take that money that they were spending on the maintenance of an email box and reinvest into more mission-critical technologies, and that's really the golden carrot that's out there because of cloud. Spires also says cloud brings standardization and scale to the commodity side of the infrastructure, meaning how you run your networks and some of the things, even whether it's HR or finance or email that you use, agencies use every single day. That also could free up money, and then it becomes more important. And during these times of budget decreases and flat budgets, then they could be, again, reinvested into more mission-critical areas. So the cloud, yes, there's security and there's culture, but the upside, the return on investment, has the potential to be great for agencies, and I think that's the key piece to overcoming this culture challenge.
Jason, just briefly, I mean, what we're talking about here is trying to find, I guess, the right incentives. But on the flip side, are there any sticks or any deadlines if agencies don't do this?
Well, you know, OMB put out there the strategy to move to the cloud, the cloud computing strategy, about was pushing almost 3 years now, and they had some deadlines. You got to move so many systems to the cloud by this date. You had to do this. And agencies have, for the most part, done a lot of the what they call the low-hanging fruit. But there's nothing that's, you know, shaking the finger at the agency saying you have to do it. It's becoming the standard in many ways. When they develop a new system or when they upgrade a system, they go, let's see if we can put it in the cloud. And if we can't put it in the public cloud, what about a private cloud? I think that's just where the market is going. So the stick is not as important. The carrot, on the other hand, of money savings, the efficiencies, is really the big deal. And there's are still some questions over whether cloud's going to save a ton of money or just a little bit of money.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks as always.
Thank you.